She's a wonder in my soul. Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airwaves. And knowing that everything is going to be all right. And most of all, knowing that you got their back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Reverend Lavallee, to the officers and members of this church, it's just good for us to be here in the presence of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. And this choir today, they sound like they did when I came here 26 years ago.
Let's give them a hand for praise.
Not saying that they haven't been sounding good, Mama, but they sounded mighty good this morning. Some prayers have been lifted up. Amen. Amen. So we are grateful and we are thankful for this choir and for you, each and every one of you that are here this morning. And I just want you to know, Mana, that God's got your back.
Yes, I
want you to stick a pen in this psalm, Psalm 27, and I want you to read it this week when you feel like your back is against the wall and you're about to fall. Psalm 27, verse 1, and it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. He protects me from danger. Whom shall I fear?" God's got your back. So in those moments this week that you just kind of feel like you just can't go no more, get your Bible and turn to Psalm 27. Now that's from the book. Your King James may read just a little bit different, but it's saying the same thing. And what I like is the psalmist said, "He protects me from danger." The Lord protects you, my Lord, from seen and unseen danger. He does. Just a few days ago, I don't know why, but I got up Thursday morning thinking it was Friday, Mother. All day I thought it was Friday. I went and got my Friday meal that I normally fix on Friday. And it was late Thursday evening when that dawned on me that it was Thursday, both, and not Friday. But thank God, that God had my back.
Yes.
So we are going through so much, and so much is happening among us and with us and in us that we lose direction. I do now. I don't know about you. I lose direction sometimes, you know. And, as well as I know Alexandra, I sometimes have to think twice where I'm going, boy. As well as I know how to get to Walmart, I get turned around sometimes. Trying to get to my favorite store, my lady. But I realize God got my back. And I heard Reverend Lamley say this morning, he gives us direction when we acknowledge him in all of our ways. He will direct our path. I had another thought that I was going to bring this morning, but I didn't have the time to get all of my apparatuses together. So I'm going to have to put that on hold. Didn't have time to get all my apparatuses together. So I'll come back, though. I ain't forgot it. I'll come back. So this morning, I want to look at Mark's gospel. Then I thought about today being the Lord's Supper Day also, and so I like to kind of deal with something that deals with the Lord's Supper normally on Communion Sunday, not all the time, but sometime. But I will come from Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 5. Mark, chapter 16, the gospel according to John Mark, chapter 16, beginning at verse 5. And I thought that there's a word in there that I believe that all of us can use this morning. And reading from the New King James translation, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed, or they were afraid, they were frightened. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." May God bless the reader and hearer of his divine word. This morning I want to talk from the thought, God of a second chance, or God of another chance, because I done practically used up most of my second chances. I'm on another chance now. And I want to encourage you this morning to realize that God loves you. And God is available to you. No matter what has happened in your life, or is happening in your life, or will happen in your life. And you need to understand that God works in the same way today as he worked in the lives of Moses, Paul, Peter, John, Esther, and others in the Old and New Testament. You need to understand, my darling, that God is still giving second chances to those who repent of their sin and begin to obey and follow Jesus. God's ultimate goal is transformation, a change from the basic raw product to a faithful, functioning follower of Jesus Christ. Such transformation takes time. It takes buffering. It requires trials. But the end result that God is trying to get is to make you better and not bitter. And when you look at the Bible, and we shared it Wednesday night, there's no perfect pastor, no perfect church, no perfect person, but when you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will only find one perfect person, and that's Jesus Christ. They all fail in some way and somehow, but yet God still used them. Those that did not turn their back on God. Now, the Bible says that David was the apple of God's heart. Bible says that God loved David, but David was a rascal. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. David was a liar, but yet he always stayed focused on God. He knew how to repent of his sins and follow God. God used it. Still using us today, not giving nobody a license to do wrong. But all I'm saying is that if you turn to God, he will forgive you of your sins, cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and set your feet on a solid rock. Well, it seemed like it's all over for the disciples. Here we're dealing with Jesus' resurrection. Just after sunrise, Mark's gospel said that it was still dark. We find the women, as usual, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and so long, they are on their way to the tomb. While they're making their way to Jesus' tomb, they are asking the question among themselves, who will roll away the stone? Now, if they had asked this question before they left their residence, they might not have left, because there was nobody among them that could have rolled the stone away for them. But even in those times of impossibility, God will step in and take care of business. They bought spices that they might now anoint his body, because of the time, they did not have time when they took him down from the cross. But God had already sent a stone-moving angel to roll away the stone that would have taken 60 men to put it in place. But yet God sends one angel to roll the stone away. And I come by to tell you, my Lord, that there might be some stones in your way. And you might have tried everything and everybody, but you might just need Jesus to roll the stone away. There are some things that nobody but Jesus can do. There's some things that he's the only one that can do. He's the only one that can give you joy. He's the only one that can give you peace. He's the only one that can forgive sin. He is the only one that can heal your body. Nobody but Jesus. What you got to understand is that you got to trust him. Even in them times when it seems like impossible. And these ladies are walking in faith. It don't say that in the script, but they got to be walking in faith, because they are going in preparation to anoint Jesus' body. But they say, who can roll away the stone? Who will roll the stone away from us? They didn't stop. They kept going. And that's what you got to do, my darling. No matter how difficult things are, you got to keep going. You got to realize that God's got your back. Yeah. He, angel gave them encouragement. He said, don't be afraid. You looking for the dead, looking for the alive among the dead. Jesus of Nazareth, yeah, he was crucified. Oh, yeah, but he's not here anymore. He has risen. But I tell you what, go and tell the disciples and Peter that he's going on to Galilee, that you need to meet him there. In them two words, and Peter, we have the gospel. In the midst of this angelic message, one might have expected a word of appreciation. In other words, go tell the disciples and John. After all, John was the disciple that Jesus loved. John was the disciple that was at the cross when Jesus was crucified. John is the disciple that Jesus said, take your mother. Behold thy mother, behold thy son. John is the one that takes Jesus' mother home with him, but he don't say, and John. He says, and Peter. But you got to understand that these are not words of appreciation, but they're words of affection and restoration. Your Lord knew Peter's heart. Yeah, Peter had denied the Lord in the hour of testing. He was in dire need of a word of encouragement, a new beginning, a second chance. And I'm talking to somebody this morning that needs a word of encouragement, needs a new beginning, needs a second chance from God. Have you blown it? You blew it. But the message of the empty tomb is the message of a second chance. It's the message of encouragement. It's the message of restoration. Many of us have faced setbacks and sorrows. There ain't anybody in this house this morning that needs these two words. And Peter, you can put your name in there. There ain't anybody that needs a second chance this morning. We can rise above our failures because we serve a God of second chances. How is the second chance possible? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because of God's amazing grace, what you just got through saying. God's operating towards man in love. God's riches at Christ's expenses. For we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Not of any works, but grace. Jesus took care of everything at Calvary. When he died for all of our sins, past, present, and future, that we might have a second chance. And understand, as I told you earlier, that God loves you. And he extends his love for us through his grace to us. And God, Paul says in Romans, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, still lost, still blind, that Christ died for us. Died in our place. By grace, you've been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And with a gift, all you can do is receive it. You don't do anything for it. You get gifts for Christmas or birthdays. You haven't done nothing for it. All you can do is receive it. But now, according to who it's coming from, you might be kind of skeptical about receiving it. Hallelujah. Might think, well, it might not be too much. But then somebody else said it, oh Lord, can't open it up fast enough. But a gift, all I can do is receive it.
And this gift God wants you to have, he wants you to receive it this morning, my darling. What I like about grace, it don't matter how far I've distanced myself from God, as long as I turn around and come back to him in prayer and repentance. When Peter preached this first sermon, the Bible says that when they heard this, it pierced them in their heart. It cut. And they cried out, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins be forgiven, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And this the crowd of Jews that he had just told them, you killed him. You took him out. But it was God's foreknowledge, and it was God's plan for it to happen the way it happened. And my Lord, let me say this to you. There are some things that may happen to you in life that God will allow it to happen in order to draw you nigh to him. Nothing happens outside of the watch of God. Just think, if you never went through anything, how you could you handle anything? You never dropped a tear. How would you know what sorrow is about? How would you know what joy is about? How would you know the difference between joy and sorrow if you ain't never been sorry? But we all have been in sorrow's valley, and we all have been in the mountaintop of joy. All because of God's amazing grace. Grace originates in the heart of God, but it flows out to all mankind. It flows out like water to a drowning man. The Bible is a story of men and women who received a second chance. When it came time to deliver a nation, who would have picked a murderer? God did. Moses had blew it. Moses had blew it. He killed an Egyptian. Though he found him doing wrong, but yet he killed him and tried to cover up. Then the next day or two, he saw another fight. He said, what you going to do to us, what you did to him? He said, well, it's time to leave town now. But Moses needed that. He was 40 years in Pharaoh's house. Now he's 40 years on the backside of Timur, serpent sheep. Moses had a temper. So he had time to, God had time to calm that temper down, son. Yeah, 40 years, herding sheep. But he was the man that God called from a burning bush. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. God used him in a mighty, mighty way. Though Peter had denied Christ and had wept bitterly when the rooster crowed three times, his heart was broken and he was reminded of his sin. But these two words, and Peter, tell the disciples, and Peter, restores him back in the family. Jesus is saying, not only do I want the disciples, and Peter was a disciple, but he singled him out. And Peter. Because he knew that Peter no doubt felt bad about what he had done. This was a way to release him of that feeling that he had denied Jesus three times. And on top of it, said some things they couldn't write in the Bible. But Jesus knew Peter's heart. And with that two words, and Peter, Peter becomes the spokesman of the disciples. He's the one that preached first. It's possible because of God's amazing grace. And his personal, because he said, and Peter. Now, understand, Peter wasn't the only one that had problems in the group now. Judas gone on now. Yeah, he done committed upside down, so he gone now. But there were some others that had fought also. But Peter had denied knowing Jesus. The others hadn't done that. Huh? Yeah. He said, you talk back on. No, don't ask me no more either. Got upset about it. And so when the rooster crowed, it reminded him of what he had done. And he began to weep bitterly. So Jesus wanted to bring him back. He wanted to reconcile him back into the family. Talked about that this morning, about forgiveness. And the message that Pastor Bertrand preached during the revival. Restoration. He said to us, go and get your brother. Go and get your sister. Go and get your niece. Go and get your uncle. Whoever have hurt you or you have hurt, go back now and make amends.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus does here.
Yeah.
When he gives us a second chance, he makes amends in the spiritual family. That everything is all right.
Yeah.
You blew it, you messed up, but I forgive you, so come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. That arrogant prodigal son gonna go to his daddy. Give me what belongs to me. I want mine now. Right now. I can't wait. And what he was saying, I wish you was dead. Because he wasn't to get to inherit to tell his daddy was dead. But the daddy sent him down and divided up between the two sons. Gave them half each. He went on, blew it, Brother Brown. Whatever he did with his money. His brother said he was a player, but I don't know. You know, that's what the brother say. But the brother was at home. I don't know how he found that out, because they didn't have text messages back then. They didn't have Twitter back then. They didn't have Facebook back then. Look, there's no telegram. So I surmised that he was saying what he wanted. You know, sometimes people do good things, but because they want to. You know, they have hidden motives or whatever, you know. But the point I'm trying to get to here is that when he decided to come back home, he done been in the pig pen and said, I may act like a pig, but I ain't no pig. I may think like a pig, but I ain't no pig. My daddy got food for servants. I'm going home. I'm going to say to God that I have sinned against thee. Done this wrong. Daddy must have been looking for him. Because the daddy ran to him. Brought him on. He's confessing it, and the daddy said, bring that boy a robe. Put some clothes on that boy. Bring him a ring. He's back in the family now. Bring him some shoes because he's barefooted. He's no slave. He's no servant.